In a way, the message is clear enough without a homily. We've just entered into this section of the Sermon on the Mount, where we have a collection of things that Jesus taught us about how to live. And the very first one is this one. And we'll go on to trust and many things. And it will end probably next Saturday with the parable that ends the Sermon on the Mount. And it's a serious parable. The parable is the man who hears my words and does them, and the man who hears my word and doesn't do them. And one is like someone who builds his house on the rock. Let the storms come, let the winds blow. He's there, he's found it on a rock. And the other, he builds on sand. And it disappears. And that's the last sort of exhortation or warning we have that concludes the Sermon on the Mount in both Matthew and Luke. Think of the compassion and insight of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to pick this up and to talk to us about it. Here he is among us, God. And he's not judging. And we are. Finding fault with each other. It's very interesting. The Alleluia takes this line from the letter to the Hebrews. The word of God is living and active, able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart, to remind us that our little judgments inside, our condemnations of each other, our assessments of each other, they're not hidden from God. He sees all that and says, why are you doing that to each other? Why are you like that? You can see one another's weaknesses. Why not help each other? Why be condemning like this? Why do this? And what you do in doing this is set up the measure by which you're going to be measured. Now think about that. Would I like to face Jesus and have him look at my life the way I look at other people? I sure hope not. People annoy me. Oh, they're doing that for this reason, or, you know, that's stupid. And have Jesus talk to me like that? This is very profound. You see, it's the source of so much division in families, in communities, in parishes, wherever, is this incessant judging. You know, stop judging so that you won't be judged. If you can't do it out of love, at least do it out of intelligence, because if you don't stop, you're going to get judged. But hopefully, we'll move beyond that to love. Well, what kind of love would that be? It wouldn't be a big, vague Buddhist love of everything and a big. It's very personal. Love is always personal. Well, how do we ever get there? Well, there's two keys. One is patience, and the other is alertness to the Holy Spirit. That is, we are not going to eliminate this by the end of the day. Let's face that. So if you try, you'll probably go nuts. Ah, there I go again. Oh, there I go again. Oh, that's so terrible. You're not supposed to judge yourself either. Look at the Lord and say, I'm a jerk. What am I doing this for? And beg the Lord for help. Now, where it comes from is an interior life. The Lord can help us if we're really praying and really looking at our own life. Because then, that's already the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit can come and, believe it or not, change our heart. Give us love and compassion and a little common sense. And just live in peace. I mean, How many times have you or I judged somebody and then found out we were absolutely plain, flat out wrong? First place, wrong or right, it's not our judgment. It's God's that matter. But just plain wrong. It comes from our own egomania. You know, we judge everything in terms of how it relates to us. Think of the compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ to stop and say, now don't do that. You're setting up for yourself a whole framework of heart that's going to be judged. You're going to grieve over all those as you wait to get to see God. You're going to grieve over these things. So why don't you stop them? It makes for a much different way of life. When somebody is really dead to self and not doing this, everybody knows it. And they like to be around such a person. They just feel a certain compassion, a certain peace. And my friends, in no one is that a human achievement. In no one. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Just look at Galatians 5, look at the fruit of the Holy Spirit. One fruit with many facets. I just, you know, when we have these pieces of advice from our Lord Jesus, I'm just amazed. Here he is, eternal, divine Son of God, come down to give us the kind of advice we ought to be able to give each other, but we don't. Now, of course, he gives it from a depth of perception and clarity and love and encouragement, which is wonderful that he would do this for us. But how many times does he do this sort of thing? You know, this is a kind of a funny one. You know, here he's just saying, you know, you're all worried about the splinter in your brother's eye and you get a log in your own. You know, get smart and get rid of that log. Then if you're the one supposed to help your brother with his splinter, at least you'll see it. You know, there's a gentleness about it. There's a light touch. But, you know, how many? The fellow calls out, make my brother split my the inheritance. Man, who established me as judge over you? And then in the whole parable about the rich guy thinking about nothing but money. Over and over again, you know, he gives us this advice, this teaching to help us, to bring us closer to himself and to the Father. And if little by little, you see, we let him do it, the Holy Spirit will take over. And we will die to self. And as it's going on, very painfully, but at the same time, very joyfully. Thanks be to God, I'm dying to self. Wow, this is great. That's the sign of the Holy Spirit. That's the sign of the Holy Spirit. This is terrible. I didn't know I was this bad, but thanks be to God you're getting rid of it. Thank you. That enthusiasm to be like Jesus comes from the Holy Spirit. So it's a very precious text as we begin this last section, and we'll see there these collections of things that our Lord said to teach us. And if we just listen to him and open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and pray. You see, we'll do this all day long and never advert to the fact that we're doing it unless we're praying. And then when we pray, if we just relax and think back over the previous day peacefully and let the Holy Spirit point out, it's not a search and destroy mission. You know, it's, we let the Holy Spirit, he says, look what you did there. Oh my gosh, I forgot I did that. Like I hardly noticed that I did it. And I repent. And it's, why does the Holy Spirit? To get us free of it. So that Jesus can live in us and shine in us. And it's worth it. And sometimes it's very hard. But it's a delicate, powerful process. And what stirs up in us is, I want to be holy. I want Jesus to live in every fiber of my being. I want to be holy. So let's get rid of this junk. That's a gift from the Holy Spirit. So let's listen to him. On the other side, you figure, don't be shocked at how bad you are. That's just pride anyway. Just say, I'm a jerk. And I ask forgiveness and go on. Otherwise, you can't sustain this spiritual battle. This is an interior battle, and you can't sustain it. Because you're doing it all on your own steam. You'll get yourself a headache, a neurosis, you'll get something. Because you cannot sustain this battle without the work of the Holy Spirit. You just can't. So it takes a while to find that balance. But the key, there's two keys. One is prayer, prayer, prayer. Be praying. Pray during the day. Pray. And the other is to sort of consecrate yourself to Mary where there's light and wisdom. And if we all do that by this time next year, we'll all be pleasant to live with.